Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. This evening, we'll be talking about Kosher Fest, the new media of bloggers, and how the new media is shaping kosher trends. My guests this evening are representatives of the traditional media as well as the new media, and they are Esti Berkowitz, a mom blogger from Primetime Parenting, Kimam Zalag, the director of advertising for the Jewish Daily Forward, and Shoshana Raff, who blogs at the Kosher Shopaholic. Good evening, ladies.
Hi, Chaim.
Hello.
Let's start with Esti. Esti, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Let's start with you. What do you expect in this Kosher Fest to be different from other years? And do you see the new media, bloggers, having an influence on kosher trends?
Yes, that's a great question. This year, I do see something different that I'm really looking forward to, and it's going to be a panel happening the first day, which is November 8th, that is going to take place from 11 to 11:45 a.m. And what is going on is that there is a very amazing group of cookbook authors who will be on a panel. And they will be addressed by a group of bloggers, very influential bloggers in the kosher food space. And I'm going to tell you who those people are because it's very impressive. And this session is actually going to be talking about the new demands of an ever-changing kosher palate and kosher 2012. So what trends do these cookbook authors see, and again, you know, the questions coming from the bloggers asking these cookbook authors how they are going to respond or react to these trends. Now, I just want to tell you this fantastic panel here. We have Leah Shapira of Cook Kosher, and she just published a cookbook. And I know you spoke to her, Chaim, before. You had interviewed her on your show,
correct,
which I listened to. Yes, and I was very impressed with her. She is going to introduce the panelists of cookbook authors, who include Joan Nathan, author and James Beard Award winner and TV host, Jeffrey Nathan, chef, author, TV personality, and restaurateur, Gil Marks, food writer and historian, Lavanna Kirschenbaum, author, chef, restaurateur, and what I like to call her the demo diva of NYC. And we also have Jamie Geller, author, founder of Kosher Media Network, and Susie Fishbein, author and celebrity chef. So you have this panel, and all of them have an online presence, which I feel is different than last year, that they're really coming out there and they're, you know, talking about their Facebook page or the fact that they have a website. And then some of the bloggers who are coming who are very active in the space, and you know who you are on the phone, of course, Chaim. You're going to be there representing the kosher scene and all the wonderful things that you cover all the time and people you interview in the kosher food world. And then, of course, Shoshana Raff, who is the kosher shopaholic and always keeping us up to date on the best kosher deals, which, again, is very appealing, and there's a lot of sites out there. And as a kosher mom, I'm very drawn to the site, to the savings. And, of course, Kim Amzalag, representing the traditional media. And we also will have Lois and Roberta from Kosher Eye, and Noreen Gillis, who is a cookbook author as well, and she has her own website called gourmania.com, and of course she's written some lovely books as well, and she's fantastic. And we have Alessandra Ravati of Dinner in Venice, who you also just interviewed. And I believe that is who we have that I know will be asking the panelists questions. So I'm really, really looking forward to this panel. And I've been going to Kosher Fest not as many years as other people, but I remember going and being like, hi, I'm a mom blogger, and people looking at me like, and what do you do? And now I think it's starting to make sense to people, the impact of bloggers and the impact that they have on, as Shoshana, I know, will share, you know, the ways that the bloggers affect purchase decisions of people who are online reading these bloggers. They affect 70% of the decisions made of people who are on Facebook, who are regular people who are looking for recipes. Where are they going to turn to? But the people they follow or a friend of theirs who might be very into the food space, you know, they may turn to them, and that gives them a lot of credibility. And then again, that can have an impact on that person's decision. It may be a box of pizza, you know, or it could be a creamer in their coffee. So I'm rambling, and I haven't even had my second cup of coffee yet, but please. I mean, as you can see, I'm very excited about these things at Kosher Fest this year, and we will be live tweeting, and there is a hashtag. So if people can't make it this year, people, our friends in Israel, or I know Haviva, the kvetching editor, was there last year, and she's very big with gluten-free food. And last year she was looking for the best in gluten-free. You know, I want everyone to follow along. I think Yeah That's Kosher might not be able to make it this year. So the hashtag, which we'll keep putting out on Twitter, is KFest11. So everybody could follow along, even Monday night through Wednesday end of show, which I believe is at 4 p.m., we will be trending.
Okay. And next, let me speak to the representative of the traditional media, Kim Amzalag. Kim, the new media
Hi,
in a way...
Hi, how are you? Hi, Esty. How are you doing?
Hi. We're good. Looking forward to next week.
I have to say
Hi,
that...
Kim.
Hi, who's that, Shoshana?
Yes, I didn't realize that I was in on the call yet.
Hi there, welcome.
Hi,
Shoshana from the Kosher Shopaholic.
Hi, Chaim. Hi, Esty.
Hi. Good evening, ladies.
We just had a great introduction of Esty, of how nobody knew what a, you know, Jewish mommy blogger was just a few years ago at Kosher Fest, and how important and ubiquitous the bloggers have become in the kosher food blogger, in the Jewish mommy blogger arena, and certainly even traditional media. We all have our own individual and respective blogs. So over the last year since we launched and published 6 kosher-inspired magazines with Mishpacha magazine, very exciting. It was very well received. People are following us at kosherinspired.com. But as I move into my new responsibilities as director of advertising for the 114-year-old venerable Jewish Daily Forward, which has the exciting kosher food blog called The Jew and the Carrot, which was just picked up by the New York Times. So, I mean, the New York Times has 27 million people that visit their website every day. Lots of the readers of the New York Times are foodies, general foodies, not even kosher foodies. So I'm excited to report that both there's a push and a pull with traditional media driving traffic to websites, and blogs and websites also being written about in traditional media. And I think we see it going back and forth. So food is a natural, of course, to write about, particularly Jewish food and Jewish holidays. We've just come off a beautiful 4-week marathon of cooking and eating, and I think all of the food magazines and food blogs benefited. I think we see that there's an explosion. There are more and more people keeping kosher, observing the holidays, looking for great new recipes and trends in health. We know that quinoa and shirataki noodles, things that Esti Kaffer wrote about all year long and kosher inspired, you know, we're right up there with the greatest brisket recipes, where we did a huge story in the forward called, in our section, Food and Drink, and we wrote about brisket. I made that recipe actually this past Friday night after the Marathon of Holidays. I put the oven on for 5 hours, and I left and went to work and left the oven on at a low temperature, and I had a really good, beautiful brisket Friday night. So I wanted to just say how exciting it is to be in the world of kosher food today and bring all of the my love of food but also my love of marketing and media together. I think advertisers and marketers are trying to connect authentically with their best customers, and that means in Jewish print vehicles where they're writing about Gilad Shalit being released, or the Wall Street protests, which have a strong Jewish element. So any news publications are definitely driving traffic. But then they're also there for what's recipes and what's hot and what's Jewish and exciting. So coming back to Kosher Fest again, this will be my, I've been going to Kosher Fest for many years. I met Menachem Lubinsky when he had just formed Kosher Fest before he sold it to Diversified as a trade show. That goes back over 20 years, and it's thrilling to see the thousands of new products that will be on display there. And I know that the winners of this year's best new products, there's always, this past week, there were the finalists, and the winners were announced. So I'd like to share with you some of those winners. And I think it reflects the growing sophistication in the kosher food world, both at the manufacturer level and the demanding, the consumers who are demanding better and better kosher foods, more diverse, more original, more exotic ingredients. Whether it was Moroccan fish balls, they weren't a winner, but there was plenty of press from the cover of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Forward, all covered in various aspects. The heads of Manischewitz, both of whom are Moroccan men who played volleyball on the beach with my husband, but they're running one of the biggest Ashkenazi kosher food companies in the world, and they introduced Moroccan fish balls last year under the season label. So I think that's a wacky combination. One of the guys, Paul Ben Sabat, his father was a sardine fish, was in the fish business, and I know because his sister, she can't stand eating fish. And so here now Paul Ben Sabat comes and introduces this exotic, kosher, Moroccan fishball recipe. And, you know, one of the stories that was in, you know, one, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, it was almost word for word of what my husband said. He said, I'm not eating this cold gefilte fish. And he then invented a hot sauce of cooked onions and cooked carrots and Herbe de Provence and saffron, which we added to, I use jarred gefilte fish, and we created a hot gefilte fish recipe that's 27 years old since I'm married, because my husband was like, I'm not eating cold gefilte fish. So I know that Paul Ben Sabat is excited about that, and so are the products. Manischewitz didn't even know where they could find saffron to, you know, to put, or cumin to put in the product. So we're seeing the more sophisticated palate of the kosher consumer and the regular secular consumer who may have become religious over a period of time. They didn't grow up religious, and now they want those same, you know, diverse selections when they go shopping. I wanted to mention a few of the different categories and some of the winners. Tishbe is, Osher Tishbe is somewhat of a celebrity. She has an Israeli winery that's located in the beautiful Zichron Yaakov area, which is really such a pretty area in Israel. And she's all about great food and great wine combinations. And when she serves lunch or dinner at her winery, she does in a lot of wine education and pairings and things like that. So the judges awarded her the best new product of any category, and we see that there are a lot of trendy products. This was a Tishbe passion fruit and strawberry champagne preserves. That was selected as the best new product this year for 2011. And it's going to be distributed by a company that's based in Canada, in Thornhill, in Toronto, called Fruit of the Land Products. And that's pretty funny because they were my client when I was the publisher of Jewish Living. So I'm very excited about that. And we move on to Best New Bread and Grain Cereal or Cracker that went to something called Sliced Artisan Slider Rolls because people serve these little mini hamburgers and they want these little mini turkey burgers. And they have these now very sort of upscale instead of just a regular old hamburger roll. Best New Candy is going to something called Rabbi Mints, Classic Kosher Mints. Best New Desserts or Sweets. It's sweets, desserts, baked goods. It's a whole larger overarching category. Was Mango Gourmet Italian Ice by our favorite Gianni Ice, you know, the frozen ice that we all used to scrape with the little wooden spoon. Best New Dips and Spreads and Salsas were from Sabra, put out a beautiful guacamole, which is nice. Everyone's familiar with Sabra from their hummus, but that's exciting about having a nice new guacamole on the market, which is kosher. Best New Frozen Entree went to Ta'amti, Meat Flavor Meatless Borekas, a nod to the vegetarians out there. Best New Giftware or Novelty Item was the Royal Hala Silicone Bakeware Pan, which I think is kind of cool. And for those people who like to bake bread, I know that a lot of people are getting into baking bread, lots of new Hala cookbooks. People are experimenting with whole wheat challahs, and so this is now, you know, a nice shape to put that bread into. Best New Beverages was a Sparkling Herbal Water by Ayala. And Best New Kosher Passover product was by Mikey's Mango Duck Sauce. I'm a big fan of their teriyaki with sesame. Let's see. Best New Meat, Seafood, and Poultry went to Jamaican-style jerky chicken sausage by our friends Dr. Alan Broner and Jack Silverstein from Jack's Gourmet. If you have not had their fabulous sausages, I urge you. Any of them are good. The winner this year, Jamaican style jerky chicken sausage, a twist on your average hot dog. Jack's a chef and Alan's a very big foodie, and they're friends of ours, and you can follow them and order them from wherever you are in the country. So that's kind of really fun for us to know that they won.
Kim, I'm going to chime in here very quickly.
Yep.
About this Jamaican sausages. I don't know about you guys, but I know that sometimes when I'm out and about in the city, I see all these Jamaican restaurants and all these like Jamaican products, and I have never before tried Jamaican cuisine. So I'm very excited about Jack's Gourmet Jamaican sausages because I'll finally get to taste what Jamaican cuisine and Jamaican flavors are all about.
By the way, I also want to mention to that, you'll remember, Shoshana, the night that Esty and you and I were at Lavana's house and Alan Broner was there, and we saw how she used those gigantic oval flat plates, and she built it with a beautiful antipasto salad, and then she puts pieces of the sausages cut up in small pieces. It was a beautiful presentation, and that's on Lavana's website. Do you?
Yes. I make it all the time now. Whenever I have guests, I made it all Yontif. It was like, it was such a hit. It's the easiest thing to make, those Jack's Gourmet sausages. They're incredible. You just you boil them up or you saute them, and you can stick them in any dish, and they dress up any dish, and everybody thinks that you're a gourmet chef.
Exactly.
They're the biggest hit,
I was
the first
very
thing to go.
By the usage. Because one day he was doing a demonstration in Queens at Seasons in the back near, there was like a little grill, and I tasted them, and there were several different kinds. One of them is a Moroccan sausage, which is my husband really liked. But I brought them home that night, and I was thinking, okay, I'll just serve them like hot dogs. But Lavana gave me a better serving idea, and so now you're expanding on that. And I think these are the kinds of gourmet products that Kosher Fest is very, very, very excited and getting more, you know, diverse in the offerings. In fact, we know that the winners
Kim.
Were not...
Kim? Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. I also have to chime in that my husband... Now, every Shabbos, we are using Jack's Gourmet in our cholent, and it's such a huge, I mean, I'm not kidding you, it's no coincidence, but he, you know, met Alan at Seasons, he tasted it, and it just, when you cook it in the cholent, I think he cooks it beforehand and then puts it in there, but the flavoring was just outstanding. It was just the perfect...
Well, it makes sense because they're using beautiful fresh ingredients and beautiful herbs, and all of that is leaking in or, you know, being slow-cooked and all those very strong seasonings, which might be a little overwhelming if you just eat it on its own, are flavoring the whole pot. I think that's a genius use of it. I never thought about it.
Yeah, I think he had talked about it online.
You know, it's funny another thing I did. Somebody is coming to my house this weekend for a birthday party, and she's going to cook in my kitchen on Friday for her birthday party, and she's going to make a Moroccan dafina. That's funny.
Yum.
So, and we haven't been eating at home much for lunch because we have every Shabbat we eat at our synagogue and everybody's there, you know, schmoozing and socializing around. So we're not really having a formal Shabbat lunch at home anymore. 52 weeks a year, the whole community pitches in money, and that way anybody who wants to come for lunch can. So that's kind of neat. Chaim can attest to that because he's been in Manhattan Sephardic
Congregation.
Absolutely. We have a very beautiful
now,
Kiddush.
Let me interject. Let me interject for a minute about talking about the kosher trends.
Okay.
The fact that so many people who have the fact that so many people are becoming Balei Tshuvos means that they are bringing with them, you know, the memories of food that they used to like. And
yes, Chaim, in fact,
we can
I
see
said
with
that earlier.
Like Hila Hackerman's The Kosher Revolution, how a lot of that, those ideas can be turned into delicious kosher recipes, where even those who do not hold from kosher will say they are absolutely delicious and just like the real thing.
Yes,
on the
I've
other
started
hand,
to do that.
Things can sometimes get ridiculous. This morning, as I was talking to Levana Kirshenbaum, she was telling me that last week she was doing a demo, and somebody very proudly announced that they made a delicious parvet, fat-free, blue cheese dressing. She said as soon as this person announced that, there was complete silence in the room. Everybody was shocked that she would call it blue cheese dressing, considering that it was parvet and fat-free. Is that the direction or one of the directions that Kashrus is going to these days?
I mean, this kosher, listen, kosher crab is not, it's just fish. So, I mean, if you're talking about kosher bacon bits and ersatz and kosher crab, everybody that goes to a Japanese or Chinese restaurant or every bar and bat mitzvah that serves sushi, which is almost only in New York you can go for, you know, pizza and also have sushi. Sushi uses what is like a fake crab type item, and all it is a fish. It's a frozen fish. So, I mean, I don't think that everything that's happening in the way of kosher is ersatz, you know, wish that we could eat all the treif we wanted. I think there is a lot of Baal Tshuva driving the market, both in wine and food. But that's not the only thing. I think people who ate in sophisticated and good restaurants and had good wine before don't want to feel that they're not able to achieve that same level of quality in kosher and diversity. So, I mean, I think that it definitely is driving part of it, but I would like to say that the people in Borough Park and Muncie and the more frum communities, frum from birth, not Baal Tshuva movement, I think that they're sort of interested in experimenting with exotic cuisine too, because they've done kugel and they've done traditional whatever the food is, for as long as they want, and they want a little more diversity. They also want more health trends, and sometimes there are people within the household who that have allergies or gluten issues, and people that require certain particular diets, whatever they are, carbohydrate free for that matter. I think that we're moving into a shorter time span where the mainstream market and the Haredi kosher market, it's narrowing the gap, because the Haredi market is online too, and they have Blackberries and iPhones, and they're able to access kosher recipes, and there are lots of kosher food sites devoted to them. Tabletop, our friend, you know, Marlene from the Jewish Hostess, does beautiful table settings. I mean, it's just a beautiful website of Sephardic recipes. It's different than anybody else. Kosher Eye, they're doing great things, these two women. I think they're out of Atlanta, Lois and Esty, what's the other woman's name?
Yes, they're out of Atlanta, yes.
Out of Atlanta, so the Kosher Eye. And we know that there's a growing group and a demanding group. You know, Chaim, you rightly mentioned Gila Hockerman, who, you know, studied in France at the Cordon Bleu. She's a graduate of Ramaz, grew up strictly kosher, was experimenting to do a lot of substitution in order to achieve a gourmet achievement, which didn't look like it was kosher food. Her brand new book called The Kosher Revolution is published by a British author. It's on sale at Costco through Barnes & Noble, and it's a very exciting new book. Essie, you're going to talk about other cookbooks that are going to be offered, but before you do that, can I just finish up with the best new products, because I just have a couple more.
Okay, let me just mention also Paula Scheuer. She was just on the Food Network's show, Sweet Genius. Paula Scheuer is a very.
Yeah, Essie and I just talked about it. Can you explain to us what it's like and where it is and who Paula is?
So Paula Scheuer is a famous, I guess, a kosher pastry chef and kosher pastry dessert cookbook author. And she was just on this week or last week, the Food Network's hit TV show Sweet Genius. She was one of the contestants on the show.
Right. She's actually on kosher. If you go to koshereye.com, you can not only see Paula, but there's a beautiful write-up about the fact that it's kind of like Chopped, where they were given some specific ingredients, and there was a competition, and it's a brand new show, which she taped in July, and I think it's going to be a big hit, because who doesn't like desserts?
Sweet Genius, what a cute name.
Right?
Also, to mention about some of the kosher new products, there's a new kosher bacon out where they're cutting the spot. It's made of lamb, and they slice it very thinly, and it's a very fatty part of the lamb, and they slice it in the exact same way, I guess, bacon made from pork is sliced, and it's called kosher bacon, which is becoming very popular. You can get the organic version from some organic kosher websites today that I write about on my site, like KOL Foods. I talk about how you can get some of these products from them online. And I just wanted to, before you continue with some of the new products, when you're talking about the whole Baal Tshuva movement and how that's influencing kosher recipes and the kosher palate and kosher cuisine, so I put a recipe up on my website about my grandmother's Hungarian chicken paprikash. Now, when I also didn't grow up kosher and frum, and as a Baal Tshuva, that was our all-time favorite meal was my grandmother's chicken paprikash. And when I became kosher, I didn't eat it for a long time. And then a few years ago, I realized that to make it exactly like my grandmother's, all I have to do is add tofutti sour cream to it, because the authentic Hungarian version, it mixes sour cream in with it. But the kosher version, all you have to do is mix the tofutti par sour cream in with it. And I served it to a Hungarian guest who I had here. She was not Jewish or kosher. I made it and I served it to her, and she said it tasted exactly like the real thing.
Oh, cool.
So that's an interesting thing. And so Foodie's also going to be at Kosher Fest.
Uh-huh. They're going to be there?
Yes. Look forward to meeting Tofuti, who allows us to make all of these amazing dishes, Parv.
Mm-hmm. So do you think David Mintz will be there?
I'm not sure who.
Oh, gosh. Well, he's the primetime entrepreneur. He actually started, which is interesting, he started Tofuti in his in his 40s. And Chaim actually knows a lot about him too. We both interviewed him on different times on our show. But I know that Kosher Fest, they weren't thinking about it really. But then once the bloggers started talking about how much Kosher Fest is not just a place for vendors and the big supermarkets to find out what's going to be on their shelves, you know, and Passover, it's also a very big meeting and networking place for, like, you know, this whole conversation today, the new trends and what's taking things on their wings and spreading it worldwide, and not just amongst the kosher or Jewish groups of people, but also the non-Jewish people who happen to be a very large part of who's buying kosher products because of the healthy and quality certification that these products have.
Wow, excellent.
As a matter of fact, according to Menachem Lubinsky, the non-Jewish buyer of kosher food represents a much higher percentage of kosher consumers than the Jewish buyer of kosher food.
Right, because their perception that kosher is cleaner, better certified, safer.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's the Muslim population, too, which certainly buys a lot of kosher foods because they know that there's no bacon or pork in it. I was actually going to, you know, this brings me to something, because we're going to be talking about these things on Tuesday, November 8th at Kosher Fest. People are invited to come and tweet along with us, but I was reading something on the OU website, and they wrote in an article that the kosher consumer is not only a Jewish family keeping kosher, of course, but it represents, you know, because of the wholesome, fresh, highest quality, kosher quality, regularly inspect standards, that is what's drawing people to all of these kosher foods. And then it also mentioned Karen Barrow of the New York Times, and her description of kosher food in an article said, an ancient diet that has become one of the hottest new food trends. And she also notes that more and more supermarket shoppers are going kosher because the shoppers are convinced that the foods are safer and better for health. So, again, you have, you know, the New York Times getting in there and putting their stamp of, you know, sure, this is the trend.
Wow. Excellent.
So another. I just want to mention also another friend of mine. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Jew in the City. She makes adorable YouTube videos and has a wonderful website. And she talks about, she is also a Balas Tshuva. So she is putting together a recipe memoir, which is supposed to be a very big up and coming trend. So she's writing all about her memories of the foods that she ate growing up, and she's turning them into kosher recipes.
Cool.
This is Jew in the City.
By the way, I have
adorable.
Something funny to share with you all. I discovered this in my last 3 weeks at my new job as the director of advertising at the Jewish Daily Forward, which is 114 years old and originally started out in Yiddish. Everybody's grandparents read the Yiddish Forward, whether they were religious or not. There was no Balchuvas in the turn of the century, you know, Ellis Island. But they had a circulation, get this, 500,000 daily circulation of the Jewish Daily Forward. And now it's in English and it's online and it's exciting. But they have Yiddish, if you wanted to practice your Yiddish and watch some recipes, they have it in English subtitles. You can go to theforward.com and then look up, you know, where it says Yiddish, in the words written in English, you go, scroll down and then you go to the video and you can see these. Can you imagine? It's on YouTube and it's on Comedy Central. Every time they put a new recipe up that's in Yiddish, it's like being in your Bubby's kitchen. So when you were talking about the paprikash, you know, people want to know, like, my grandmother's not alive and I'd really like to know how to make that recipe. But you can also practice and hear your Yiddish while looking at English subtitles, which I think is pretty funny. very like kitschy and kind of authentic. So
there
that's
is a blogger
kind of
like that.
I'm sorry?
There is a blogger who does that. There is a blogger who does that. Called, the name of the blog is In Mola Rhyme, meaning in your mouth. And
uh-huh.
basically what this particular blogger does is she has recipes in Yiddish, transliterated, and also the same recipe directly in English.
Oh, that's cool. Well, this one's called Eat and Be Well in English, but if you go to YouTube, Eat and Be Well, or Est Gesundheit, which is, you know, when everyone, somebody says, you know, how do you say that, Chaim? Like, be well?
Sei gesund.
Sei gesund, which is another kind of expression that people use all the time. But, in fact, Eat and Be Well, Est Gesundheit, is the more proper Yiddish. So, anyway,
right.
It's very exciting. So to me, I feel like I'm also reaching back to my grandparents, and my grandmother was born in 1901 on the Lower East Side around the corner from Streitz. And I know we're getting off topic, but it's somehow all related, where Streitz is a big exhibitor, you know, at the show, and it's all connected. I think we're all sort of going back and, you know, reaching forward to things we can't do. We can't get there anymore, so we're trying to recreate it. At the same time, we're moving forward in a modern way, incorporating, you know, recipes from today that are healthy. Our husbands who are Moroccan, our paprikash from our grandparents, and, you know, stuffed cabbage. So, I don't know. I think it's all just sort of exciting to go backwards and forwards
at the
same time.
We are going backwards and forwards. Kim, can you guys hear me? I put it on mute for a second. Some background
uh-huh.
noise.
I can hear you.
Speaking of going full circle, Streitz has recently partnered with Mama Donnie, and she's going to be doing a tour, and they're one of her main sponsors, which is taking, you know, Delancey Street and now Mama Donnie, who reaches, you know, a lot of the Jews of today who are very far away from their Judaism, and she goes and sings about Shabbat. And she's a very talented musician because she has, like, a reggae beat, and she's very charismatic. And I know she was at the last social media schmooze, and, you know, she came to my very first schmooze 2 years ago, and I know that she's always wanted to find a kosher brand to partner with her, and it was just recently announced. And I see that that's, like, bringing things, like, old and new, and she's going to help, you know, through singing about Passover, you know, bridging together tradition, food, and the next generation, future generations. And I was just going through the exhibitor list, and I saw Gus's Pickles, which, of course, is crossing Delancey Pickle Enterprises. I've been there before, and those are the best pickles I've ever had, seriously.
Love them. Absolutely.
And then I think
yeah.
I might go to Chosen Ice Cream, who's also going to be exhibiting. But someone told me last year, the kosher, Lois and Roberta and I had like a post-kosher fest schmooze. And I said, how do you go about kosher fest? Because you have the meats and then you have your dairy. You don't want to be fleishig and then come across like the most incredible ice cream or dairy. So they start with dessert first.
That's very cool.
How do you guys feel about that?
We do it in my house all the time. We go out for ice cream, and then we come home and eat.
I think that everybody's going to have that same strategy. I was talking with friends about it, so I think that in the mornings, all the dairy booths are going to be very, very busy, and the meat's going to be empty, and vice versa.
I know, seriously, because, you know, all the pizza, too. There's a lot of good pizza. Mendelssohn's Pizza, we're going to have Klein's Natural there, and of course if you just do the tofutti route, you know, you'll be neutral, but I just can't say that, I can't be that way over here. Or Mimic Cream, which I love Mimic Cream. I know that Kim and I were talking about them earlier, a very interesting product. I think Shoshana, you mentioned, have you used Mimic Cream in any of your...
I love
recipe.
Yes, I use it. I make mm-hmm. I make a fettuccine Alfredo with Mimic Cream, and it's not par, but I use the Mimic Cream because it's a very healthy substitute for cream. It's got about 1 gram of fat in it, and it's as creamy and delicious as real full fat cream.
I think
they
it's
are,
on,
you know,
after
very
the
nice
show.
People.
This is Mimic Cream's first exhibit at the show, I believe. And I think
They were there last year, by the way.
Uh-huh.
In Gila Ackerman's book, she uses Mimic Cream quite a few times as one of the substitutes.
Because she's very rightly
explains much
healthier. That you
it's
can't.
So
it's
healthy.
Not just
right.
healthier, but it has the fat content when you substitute out to have a PARV ingredient
right.
that gives you the fat voluminousness that you need to have a like a cordon bleu non kosher recipe become successful when you're doing a substitution. Anyway, I want to just finish. There are just a couple of other best. Of show awards from Kosher Fest 2011. There's a Best New Savory and Salty Snack Food that went to Bamba. They have a halva product. It's a peanut snack with sesame cream filling from Osem, our friends at Osem. I hope
you need
Kobe
to remind me that.
Out there.
Kim,
sorry?
Please send me that because you know I'm a big fan. I always talk about the Joan Hamburg show. She does table talk
and
Tuesday.
People don't know what halva is. You know, people now
but
know.
But she's
what,
obsessed with it. This is she always talks about it. So I think we need we need to send her a sample. Yes.
Okay. No problem. We can
From
ask Kobe to do
to
that.
Her.
Do it. Okay.
Okay.
I think halva could be the next hummus. You know, like that's what's happening. These ethnic products are becoming more mainstream every day, and that's why these non-Jewish supermarket buyers are there because they see trends. You know, most products, if you don't have a kosher supervision on it and a kosher heksher, you really can't get into a supermarket today because the ShopRites of the world and the AMPs and the food emporiums, not to mention all the kosher supermarkets like Aaron's Casina and Brock's in Long Island and, of course, our most favorite in Brooklyn on Coney Island Avenue. Please help me.
What is it? The grocery
the five star kosher grocery store in Brooklyn.
Oh, Pomegranate.
Pomegranate. That I'm sorry. Pomegranate just is a destination. People drop their bags from the airport and they run there to buy specialty items that they can't find anywhere else. But that's no longer unique to them. Seasons is doing it. All the kosher supermarkets, KRM, they've renovated. They have 25 cash registers. The places are mobbed. You'd think they were giving away the food. And it's not just for people that have seven kids in their family. You know, people from Manhattan are trekking to Queens and to, Brooklyn to find things that are more challenging, I think, to the city. And now we have Fairway that just opened on 86th Street on the east side. It is a mob.
That's right. And they have a lot of items that none of the other, none of the specialty kosher supermarkets seems to have.
Right. In fact, by the way, one of the exciting products that was a best of in the new product category is best new cheese or dairy items is the Sugar River cheese from Anderson International Foods, who's Bridget Mizrahi and Elliot Budd. They just moved to Jersey City from their Long Island headquarters, and Anderson International has the brand Natural and Kosher, which is sold at Costco and at Fairway, and it's a beautiful product, and I think, we're going to see more and more diversity within the cheese lines. For me, having grown up eating non-kosher food as well, particularly cheese, I think cheese was one of the sort of last categories to sort of really pick up the speed. I want to have good, kosher cheese available to me. So anyway, that's exciting, and I want to congratulate Anderson International Foods on that win for Sugar River Cheese. The best new wine and spirit.
And we seem
went
to have
to
a caller on the line.
Sorry?
Let
me, who's that?
We seem to have a caller on the line. Let me find out who it is.
Okay.
I think it's... Is it?
Hello.
Is
good
it
evening, caller.
Hi, I'm hi.
Can
it's
you
me.
Tell us
it's
your
Sarah.
Name and where are you from?
Oh, no.
Hi,
no.
Hi.
Hello.
it's
we
me,
lost somebody
and
she
Shoshana.
Just called back in.
I got dropped from the call, so I'm calling back in. It's Shoshana from the Kosher Shopaholic. Hi.
It's not the same number. It's a different number. It's a 973
yes.
number.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
it's
that's
still
you?
Me. Yes, it's
okay.
Still me. It's, I called from my cell phone.
Except you're still on the 845 number.
I'm not. I hung it up. My phone died.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, and
okay.
I want to also mention that the best new savory condiment, which I think as we see supermarkets across the country are increasing the size of their condiment shelf, condiments, spices, sauces, oils, vinegars, dressings, marinades, it's a huge category. That's one umbrella category. I think in the future Kosher Fest is going to have to break that best new product category into several, because the winner this year for their frozen pesto cubes is our friend Tal Tal Or at Dorot Foods from California. He's an Israeli who makes these little frozen cubes of fresh herbs. So instead of having to wash the herbs, try to find to make sure that there are no bugs, you can just pop in one of these little cubes and, you know, spice up your soup, your cholent, your shirataki noodles, or whatever else you're cooking. So I know that Dorot was... is beginning to, they had a, you know, rough year, just like everybody else. A couple of years ago, the food industry also took a hit. So we're hoping that, you know, things are going to turn around and it's going to be an exciting show Tuesday and Wednesday in Secaucus, New Jersey, at the Meadowlands Exposition Center. That is where Kosher Fest, the food trade show, will be held. There are a lot of consumers that are able to come to the show. They expect 5,000 people to attend, and I think, I don't know what the total number of exhibitors are. Does anyone know, Esty? Maybe
350
300,
oh,
maybe?
You have that?
350
booths and 5,000 visitors they're expecting that are international, Jewish and non-Jewish, supermarket, small local stores, chains. We see everybody there. People online, we have more and more online purveyors of food. So I think it's going to be a dynamic show. There are some new kosher pastas out there. And I don't know. Esty, do you have anything else that you would add to?
Oh, about the products?
About the products, about the show?
I just, I'm really excited to see some new people there this year, like Tofuti had never considered going to Kosher Fest, and now they'll be there because I think they see that their product is not, you know, has just appeal across so many different people, not just because people want to keep kosher, but, you know, of course, people who have lactose intolerance, and, of course, you know, gluten-free products I'm very excited to see because it's a very big topic out there. And, you know, the specialty foods, you know, kosher food is considered a specialty food. And, of course, with the specialty food show that goes on, and Chaim and I were talking about how these other shows just have huge sections of kosher food products. So it's just, you know, so interesting. And I think it's going to, you know, the whole, what you also mentioned about the Baal Tshuva movement. Of course, my whole blog is about how in my 30s, you know, I changed everything, and I really did. I at 34 years old, I started keeping kosher, and the appeal to me was that I would go to people's houses, and I had ceviche, you know, that was kosher. I had had, of course, the other ceviche, but it was just so interesting to me on my journey to go to tables and have food from different places around the world. It wasn't just brisket. It wasn't just matzo ball soup. It was a very interesting dish from an Asian meal to a Moroccan meal. And I think the world at large is also very into culture, and to see that Jewish people are so diverse in their recipes. And, of course, you know, Kim, with your article you wrote in Kosher Inspired about Mimuna, am I saying it right?
Mimuna.
Whoever knew that happened? Yeah. I mean, whoever
from
knew?
Passover.
I never knew this stuff happened. They didn't teach me this in Hebrew school. They just told me to be quiet, you know. So, I mean, Purim, look at all the fun you can have. So, like, you know, when a Baal Tshuva like myself goes home and everybody else is not kosher, but I am, what am I doing? I'm going shopping with them and I'm showing them the products. And they're like, wow, you know what? We're going to go back and get that. Or
here's this restaurant, you know, and it's so delicious. Like I told Chaim about our Mizrahi Grill in Highland Park, Illinois, where it's like Long Island, you know, it's very Jewish, but it's not people who are keeping kosher, but they're coming in there and they love it. So lunchtime, you have all types of people coming. And on that same token, you know, Coffee Bean is now here in Manhattan, and all their products are kosher. Pomegranate has all pre-makes the food, and you can buy it there at Coffee Bean. And I never knew that all the products at Coffee Bean were kosher because I know it's a West Coast chain. But everybody's just so excited about this, and especially
isn't Coffee Bean also in Israel?
Yes, there's one in Israel also. There's one in Israel, but it's very trendy because people are spending a lot of time in coffee places because you can work remotely. They have Wi-Fi. I mean, you're there and everybody's like plugged in and on their iPhone and doing this and doing that. And it's kosher. So it's so, and the big, you know, nice mezuzah on the door right there at 36 and Broadway. So I just, I feel like it's not just getting the kosher crowd. It's getting everybody in there. And they may not even know that they're getting the benefits of a kosher certified meal. You know what I mean? So it's just,
right.
I get a lot of
knowledge. On the same token, there is a brand new pizzeria in Brooklyn, in the South Brooklyn area, Jerome Avenue and East 18th, which is not exactly a Jewish area. Most of their clientele are non-Jewish. It's a kosher place. And apparently if they get that many non-Jewish clients, it must be terrific pizza.
The rent is lower, too. I also wanted to mention that the area of wines is something that we really haven't talked about. The best new wine, beer, and spirit went to Fincus Marumatoc Cabernet Sauvignon Malbec from Buenos Aires, from Argentina. So we know that we've seen wines from Chile. We've seen great Israeli wines continue to win awards. I know that, you know, it's not just French wines anymore or great Spanish wines. You can get kosher wines from, you know, so many countries in the world. There are many, many online purveyors of kosher wines. And I think our friends over at Royal Wine, Gary Landsman is doing an excellent job educating the, you know, kosher food consumer about wine pairings, not unlike Oshra Tishbe is doing at her winery in Zichron Yaakov. So I think we're seeing, again, to your point, Chaim, that, yes, Baal Teshuvas who enjoy fine non-kosher wine are certainly driving the demand, but as well as from birth people who are kosher from the minute they were able to drink a glass of wine, are getting more and more sophisticated. But I want to move beyond wine, and I see a lot of exciting new products in the liqueur area. Cherry Herring made a big comeback last year at Kosher Fest. They will not be showing this year, but they had introduced Coffee Herring, which was a parve product that you could cook in tiramisu and serve on parve ice cream after a meat dish on Shabbat. Very lovely. Our guests enjoyed it. We talked about it. We had a taste testing. What do you prefer, Cherry Herring? What do you prefer, Coffee Herring? I received a pomegranate sweet wine as a Shabbat gift on Friday night, because bringing wine every Friday night when you're invited as a guest gets a little bit boring. So I think that there's a plethora of things that are happening around Shabbat tables all over the world, not just all over the New York area, but kosher table. People are looking for innovation. They're looking to entertain. They're looking for, you know, good talking pieces with their guests at the table, beside, of course, the, you know, parsha and catching up with your guests around the table. We had an Italian guest. He's a doctor and married to somebody I went to camp with from New England. And we had she's a big Cherry Herring fan. And we talked about the multiple generations of Jews having, you know, really Cherry Herring and schnapps was what Jews drank at Kiddush's years ago. Now it's making a comeback, and I think we saw liqueurs kind of disappear and die. I think they're, you know, people want to linger at the table. They want to talk over a sophisticated drink, and I don't know. I just think it's every area of food and wine and entertaining and decor and health, every from every possible angle that you could examine the food category, Kosher Fest couldn't be coming at a better time. So I'm looking forward to being with all of you. I want to thank Esty Berkowitz from Primetime Parent and Primetime Parenting and Primetime Kosher for organizing the blogger event. It's the first time ever that Kosher Fest, for those of you who just joined, they've never had a group of food bloggers tweeting from the show, and we're going to be talking about some of the trends that we discussed tonight. And Shoshana Rath from the Kosher Shopaholic will also be there. So we look forward to meeting you. So I want to thank Chaim from the Kosher Scene, and not sure what happened to Levana Kirschenbaum, who's just come out with her fourth cookbook called The Whole Foods Kosher Kitchen. And Leah Shapiro, I want to also do a call out to her and congratulate her on her first book. She's a very good friend of Esty Kafra. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, our Rosh Hashanah issue of Kosher Inspired came out, and I know there are a lot of people who would like to be able to subscribe to Kosher Inspired on its own. The only way you can get Kosher Inspired now is if you are a subscriber to Mishpacha Magazine. A quarterly magazine it will be. The next issue of Kosher Inspired will come together for Hanukkah in December. So I just want to say thank you because you've supported us this year as we launched six issues, and we will continue because there's a lot of demand out there for it. So anything else? I would love
to. Yes. Let's not forget Alessandra, Dinner in Venice.
Oh.
It's like becoming one of the hottest new kosher chefs out there. Her recipes are so popular. She's authentic Italian kosher cuisine, and she's got the most interesting and delectable recipes up on her website. And she's
Shoshana,
really
thank you. I want to tell you that I introduced Alessandra after hearing her do a superb introduction to a cooking class that Susie Fishbein did, a cooking demo for the JICNY, Jewish International Connection New York. I thought she was fabulous, and she embodied the vision that we had for Kosher Inspired, and that is Jewish women from all countries and all backgrounds want to come together and make great Jewish food for holidays to pass down the tradition to our children, and I think all of us do that. But I also want to mention that she wrote an article. Shoshana, one second. She wrote an article about the Jews of Italy in our summer issue of Kosher Inspired. She has subsequently been picked up in several other kosher food magazines. She has her own blog called Dinner in Venice. And last week, Chaim hosted her on his show right here on blogtalkradio.com with Kosher Scene, where they talked about 700 years in the ghetto in Venice, Italy, about food, history, and culture. It was a fascinating show. She is definitely hot and up and coming. I'm so glad that you mentioned that.
Me too. I was tweeting with her online while we were talking.
And I know that she'll also be at Kosher Fest, right? She'll be walking around at Kosher Fest, right? So it's going to be so much fun to be seeing all of our friends, people who we've met in person, and a lot more people who we've never really met in person but feel so close with because we have such a relationship through social media.
Yes. I was just looking at the featured author because there is on let's see, is it Tuesday or Wednesday? There's author's hour. The featured
it's right
authors
after the,
are...
It's right after the panel.
Mm-hmm. It's
and I wanted
Gil
to mention
Marks.
June Hirsch. June Hirsch,
yes, that's
also.
What I was just going to say. Gil Marks, June Hirsch, Noreen Gillitz, the Julia Child of Canada, Jamie Geller.
Oh, I can't wait to meet her.
Yes, Levana Kirschenbaum, Leah Shapiro, and Jeffrey Nathan. All of them will be the featured authors in the Author's Hour. Meet your favorite kosher cookbook author and pick up a signed copy of their latest book in the front of the exhibit hall. I think there's a fabulous lineup. If anybody wants more information, they can go to kosherfest.com and get the show schedule.
And, Kim, Kosher Fest is open to the public, right? Anybody can buy a ticket and come and
no,
see.
No, only the trade.
No, I'm sorry,
not
only the
everybody.
Trade. Not only trade people, okay.
Mm-hmm.
They trade and press and vendors.
Impressed,
okay.
Right.
Okay,
we're just about out of time.
Okay.
Well, Chaim will be there too,
right,
Chaim? Chaim will be broadcasting live from, right?
And
so
no,
people should come by.
I will be broadcasting live. I will be taping, and Wednesday night we will have that. However, I will be videotaping during the panel with the cookbook authors.
Great. Oh, wonderful. That's because a lot of
actually,
people aren't able to make it.
Actually, Irving Shield is going to be videotaping, and I'm going to edit it.
Okay, great. What
good,
and you're also, we also want you to ask a question. So,
absolutely,
we need
you. Will.
You need your hands free.
Sherry will be there too. She will also
okay,
ask
great.
Some questions.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you for having us all on tonight, and you're always so gracious as a host, Chaim. I hope you feel better, and we will look forward to seeing you at the show. Okay.
Okay.
Good night,
thank
everybody.
Thank you very much, ladies.
Good night.
Thank
as
you.
As always, it was a great conversation. We hope to have you soon again. Good night, one and all.
Okay. Thank you. Good night. Yeah.